Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, March 9th, 2026. And today we're reading in the Big Book. We are on page 23 in the chapter, There is a Solution. We will be reading the third paragraph, which begins, How True This Is, through one paragraph ending with, And assert his power of will. And we'll be commenting on that today. Today's readers are Carrie W. for the 12 Steps, Christine M. for the 12 Traditions. Penny L.C. will read and comment on our share. Robin P. will close us out with 164, close us out of the recorded portion. And Alice G. is here for our backup. Newcomer greeter Alex K. will welcome our newcomers, and then Shelley E. will end the meeting with some announcements. Thank you all for your beautiful service. The OA preamble. Oops, wait a minute. I want to let you know that the reference number for yesterday's special edition is 23267. That's 23267. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23268. That's 23268. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Carrie W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Carrie W. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much. And I will now ask Christine M. to please read.
Hey, Elaine. Hey, everyone. Good morning. This is Christine M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest probably our problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn to public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christine M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you do keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 23, and there is a solution. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you for your service, Elaine, and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. How true this is, few realize. In a vague way, their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. But everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his willpower. Oh boy, do I remember those days. This passage, and actually the paragraphs before and this last paragraph, is telling me that my main problem is in my mind. I am being manipulated by my impulse, my compulsion, and my obsession. The example a sponsor gave me once in the beginning of my recovery was, when I see a can lying in the road, I get an impulse. My compulsion drives me to kick the can without thinking. And then my obsession causes me to search all over town for cans to kick. Yeah, right. It doesn't matter that I know I am not to kick cans. That part of my rational brain is overridden by the addict part of my brain that operates spontaneously. It doesn't matter if I have forewarnings. It doesn't matter if I have experienced past discomfort from doing it. It absolutely doesn't matter that I have tried over and over to assert my willpower. None of it has an effect on my mind. When I am caught in the web of being driven to take that compulsive bite, especially the pressure of family that I needed to present a perfect image, or the in particular, my physical appearance. Oh boy, it was so important what I looked like to them. And then there's the pressure of society for me to look and act impeccably I can remember being so, you know, obsessed with magazines that were telling me, you know, perfection was the only way, and diets centers that were telling me they could fix me, and so on and so forth. It didn't matter because none of that worked. None of that outside pressure worked because it was an inside job. I needed to find a power greater than myself that could free me from this addictive behavior. And thank you, God, that I have. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate your share, Penny. I'll see. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you would like to comment on page 23, the third paragraph, please press star one to unmute and give me your name. I'll take a lineup.
Christina J.
Hi. Christina J.
Lisa W. in Denver.
Lisa W.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Anybody else like to share? Okay, well, let's get started with Christina J., Lisa W., and Deborah G. If you're not Christina J., please mute your phone. And Christina, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in the state of Washington. And I need to do a 10-step on the time change. Anyway, backing up just a slight bit. I always had the obsession that I would beat the game. I never suspected I was down for the count. So how true this is, few realize it. I only suspected that I was down for the count, that I couldn't control it, that there was something deeper wrong with me as my body got bigger and bigger. And I got more miserable in that. Because in that, I couldn't manage much. I thought I was managing, but I wasn't. I was obsessed with everything. The obsession convinced me, is what really convinced me, because I couldn't stop. So that was the obsession of my mind. Of course, I didn't know about the allergy at that point. As far as the rest of the paragraph, nobody understood me. They didn't understand why I wouldn't want to go to outings with them. Why suddenly, as everyone was gathering to go out to a baseball game or whatever, when the family was in town to visit, I would disappear to the bathroom for about an hour. They didn't know what I was doing in there. I was trying on every piece of clothing I could. What a miserable moment to be presentable. And in that bathroom, I was sweating, embarrassed, ashamed. And then I would come out and feign sickness. And they just didn't get it, you know. And they didn't know. I mean, I'm sure they saw me going up and down in weight, but they never asked me anything about it. I did have a husband that would shame me with words, and he just couldn't stand having a wife that was even 5 pounds overweight. So he was, avoiding me and rejecting me. And of course, that was my father. I had married my father not knowing it. Roused myself from the lethargy, roused myself from the allergy, roused myself from the obsession. I didn't even know what it was. Assert my power of will. I didn't have any. I didn't have any when it came to the food. Everything else I did, but not the food. So this really speaks to me because I can't beat the game, you know, because of my allergy and my obsession of the mind. And this is where the book tells me that there's a solution. We're in this chapter. There is a solution. Of course, when I first got to this chapter, I was looking for the the secrets. I had no idea it was going to be a deep dive into my precious soul that was hungering and aching for the truth to be free. And I don't believe the disease is out there somewhere. It's in my heart. It's in my soul. I believe it's a monster outside of myself that wants to kill me. I believe it's a monster in my soul that wants to heal. So if you're out there and you're struggling, this book has the answers for you. I mean, I really can't say that. You can only take the journey. I mean, what's the harm in taking the journey? You're going to find out some things about yourself. And if you don't stay, that's fine. But it's here, and it's here for me, and I go deeper every day with it because where I go is deeper to the solution, which for me is higher power in my heart. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. Lisa W., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deborah G. Please share with us, Lisa.
Hi, thank you so much, Lisa W. in Colorado, compulsive overeater. And, you know, this touches on a couple different, I think, important concepts, you know. Families, friends, and strangers, yeah, they, you know, thought I was abnormal. I was disgusting. I was out of control. As a fat person, I obviously didn't have any self-love. There's so many stereotypes of if you're overweight, you know, you're not smart. you know, lots of really sad stereotypes, and it is so painful. And I had written in the margins a little earlier in this chapter that, you know, the people we love see what it does to us, but they don't understand what compulsive eating does for us. And, you know, this idea that we're in lethargy, you know, and we need to assert our will. Oh, my God, how many diets did I go on? How much exercise did I do? How much self-shaming did I do in promising that I wouldn't do it again? I mean, I was anything but lethargic. Is that even a word? I mean, I might have looked like I was sitting in front of TV and binging. That sort of looks lethargic. you know, but inside and in ways that they didn't see, I was trying really hard. And, you know, the power of my will is of no use to this, you know. And, you know, that's what I'm learning, you know. I was reading Upon Awakening today, and, you know, the use of the will for me, what I've learned is to follow this program and to do what's being asked of me. That's where my will needs to go. But the opposite is surrender, and that's what I need to do to, you know, to my higher power, to recovery. So, you know, I think, you know, our friends and families love us, and they don't understand, and I think they feel powerless too. So,
thank you,
yeah, I'll pass there. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa W. Deborah G. You're up next. Thank you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for leading us this morning, your service, and everyone else making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers that are on the line. I'm so glad you're with us today. And could you tell me again the page and paragraph?
We're on page 23, the third paragraph. It starts with how true this is and ends with and assert his power of will.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, how true this is. Few realize. I was one of those few that I couldn't see the reality, the truth. You know, I was just so caught up in my thinking that was distorted and kept trying to control and manipulate and manage my food. And that was the unmanageability. A vague way, my family and friends sense that these people are abnormal. Well, you know, I don't know what they thought, because no one ever said anything to me, you know. I'm sorry, I take that back. One person said to me, how can you eat so much and not gain any weight? Because I'm a compulsive overeater, Deborah G. from Arizona. I don't think I said that. I'm just waking up. And also an anorexic. So I was doing both of those things, you know, it was, and they were like colliding with each other. And, but it was all about trying to fix, manage, control my food and the unmanageability that arose with that. The sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will again and again and again, thinking that I had this power, that I could do it. This time it's going to be different. I got this together. And, you know, there were times even I was actually watching myself doing this, but still wasn't able to do anything about it because I have no power. And it wasn't until the solution was to surrender when I finally did, years and years and years later, fully surrender and realize what my alcoholic foods were, to be able to get the help that I needed, call this person that I loved what they shared, special edition, and asked that person, told her what was going on, to take me through the steps quickly, you know, because I was tired of suffering. I love that word, sufferer. Because I was suffering.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And you know what? I'm so grateful I don't have to ever suffer again. And newcomers, you don't ever have to suffer again. Thank you all.
So true. Thank you so much, Deborah G. Okay. Although we value everybody's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on There is a Solution, page 23, the third paragraph, it starts with how true this is and ends with and assert his power of will. Please press star 1 to unmute and we'll take a lineup.
Dorita P.
Dorita P.
Madeline H.
Madeline H.
Michelle A.C.
Michelle A.C. Anybody else like to get in this lineup? Star 1 to unmute. We'll go
Avivi.
by 3.
Oh, Avivi from Vancouver.
Avivi. Anyone
Vancouver.
Else?
Lynn B., California.
Lynn B.?
Lynn B., California.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Lynn B., California. Anybody else? Okay, great. Well, let's start with Dorita P., and then we'll have Madeline H., Michelle A., Avi V., I believe. I'm not sure if I got that right, and Lynn B. Anybody else want to get in that lineup? Okay. Well, Dorita P., please share with us, and Madeline H. will be after Dorita.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, really grateful to be
Dorita,
here.
Dorita, I'm not sure if you're using a speaker, but we're getting some background, or if you're...
I'm wearing headphones. You can't hear me too well.
Much better right now. Much better right now. Thank you.
Okay, I didn't do anything different, but you can hear me better now?
Oh, yeah, I do hear you better now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Please continue.
My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. This is a pretty short paragraph of how true this is, the truth of, you know, there is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game, but they also suspect they are down for the count. That's the truth. I suspected that I was down for the count. And it was true. And then it says, in a vague way, their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal, but everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. That's what I thought, you know, it was all about willpower. You know, I didn't have this solution. So without this solution, I was lost. Diets were my solution. So I thought. And I was always baffled when I gained the weight back, because the whole plan was to lose the weight and keep it off. But I'm so grateful that I learned what my problem was. I heard someone on an earlier meeting say something like, she didn't know what the problem was. She didn't know what the problem was, so she didn't know what the solution was, something like that. And for me, that's so true. You know, I didn't know that I had an obsession of the mind or an allergy of the body. I didn't know that. I mean, I kept trying to eat one candy bar, and I couldn't. Not for the life of me, I couldn't. So, but I'm just really grateful, again, that I found out what was wrong with me. And I found out what was wrong with me before it was too late. A whole lot of people, I was in the Uber yesterday, and the guy was telling me about, said they went to school together, played football or something together. And, you know, years later, he said he blew up, you know, so he must have gained at least 100 pounds probably when people said he blew up. And I'm thinking, well, he couldn't help it. If he could, he would. You know, I'll close with this. You know, nobody wants to be fat. I don't know one person who wants to be fat. I don't know of that person. I don't know one person who wants to be fat. So if they don't want to be fat, to me it's obvious. Maybe it's obvious because I've come into this solution. So it's obvious to me. But evidently it's not obvious. Thank you. But evidently it's not obvious to everybody else.
Thank you so much, Dorita P. Madeline H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Michelle A. Please share with us, Madeline.
Hi, it's Madeline H. from New York. And if self-will could have done the job, it would have happened years ago. I've been in OA for years and joined A Vision for You in September. And Saturday evening, there was a family dinner celebrating my daughter's birthday, and her mother-in-law kept saying, "Oh, your hair looks so pretty. Your hair looks so pretty." Nothing different than it was. And she finally realized what the difference was. And she said, "You've lost weight." I said, "Oh, yes, I have." And I just dropped it. She said, "How?" I said, "My program, my OA program." Because once people ask, I never deny how it's done. And she said, "How much did you lose?" And I said, "I don't know. I had to think about it, because I'm not counting pounds. I'm counting recovery, one day at a time." Do I find it very hard to say recovered? Yes, I do, because, since 2003, I was saying in recovery. But I am getting recovered. The food doesn't call. And that's because I totally surrendered. I'm a sick Irishman, and it takes a lot to get through, but this program got through on September 7th, 2025, and I've been here ever since. And my name is Madeline, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Madeline. So glad you're here. Okay, up next we have Michelle A., followed by Avi V. Please share with us, Michelle.
Good morning. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And the paragraph spoke to me in a completely different way today than it did the last time I read it, which is kind of the magic of the book. I just had the unbelievable honor of hearing someone's fifth step yesterday. And I started to think about the section in there where it talks about how we lead a double life. And of course, our families and the people around us might have a vague sense that something's wrong, but at least I was going out of my way to make it look like nothing was wrong while everything was wrong. And so that double life got in the way of anybody understanding. It's not, I think there's also a part of it where when I came to program, I found people finally who really did understand, and I didn't need to lead that double life. And I was around people who shared my disease and therefore understood, and it was a lot less shameful and horrifying to talk about it. But I also know that the people in my life didn't understand because I couldn't possibly have shared what was going on. And then, you know, further on in the fifth step, it talks about, you know, finding the right person who understands but isn't involved in your life. And I feel like, again, it's a gift to know that there are all these people around who understand and aren't involved in my daily life, and the things I do don't necessarily impact them moment to moment. And so my fellows in the program can actually have a lot more spiritual license to see and talk to me than people outside of program can. And that's an incredible gift to me, that I have those people in my life. And then finally, like, I hear that use of willpower, and it just makes me think a lot about the right use of will. That the right use of will wasn't for me to fake looking normal or to try to control my food and my weight and how I looked and how I felt and what I ate and everything about it. The right use of will was actually to turn all of that over to a higher power. And the program isn't telling us we don't have willpower. The program's telling us we've been using it towards an end that's impossible with this disease. And when we have the right use of will, which is to turn towards our higher power, we actually get this whole amazing, incredible, wonderful life that I have. So I'm just really grateful for the program and for this book. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle A.C. Appreciate your share. Abe, you're up next, followed by Lynn B.
Hi, this is Avi V from Vancouver, British Columbia, recovered and so grateful. Oh my goodness, I've enjoyed listening to the shares, and thank you for your service and for everyone who is here. A lot of similarities in what I've heard, and especially that last part, you know, hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse themselves from lethargy and assert the power of will. I mean, oh my goodness, I remember like the year after year, my family begging me, just begging me, why can't you stop eating? And they were baffled. And I would sit there sobbing in front of them, and I just couldn't. And I try to explain to them, I can't. I wish I could, and I can't. And they paid for all the programs, and, you know, they tried bribing me, and I tried the medications, and, you know, and they knew all, okay, it's a Monday, or, oh, it's the first of the month. No, it's the first of the year, and the new journal, and I can do this. And, I mean, and I'm a smart person, and I was baffled why I just couldn't stop eating. I just couldn't. And just the look on my parents' face and my brother, his face and his embarrassment and shame. And you know what's so incredible is later, like today, I have, and my mother has seen this transformation in me. I've been in OA now for just about 2 years. And the lightness, and it's not about the weight. I mean, yeah, I've let go of over 100 pounds now, right? But it's not that. It's in my eyes. It's the way I talk. It's the way I engage with friends and family. You know, there's this easiness. There's this peace. And that's God. That is all God, 100%. And I'm open about it. I talk about it. And, you know, it's funny. My mother is one of us. And she's kind of curious, you know, just watching how I am and how I'm engaging. And, you know, just her openness to the possibility, because there's no amount of food that could have ever filled this emptiness. No amount of food, but nobody could have told me that. And when I was in doing the steps, yeah, actively, the weight was just dropping off. And I was explaining this to a sponsee yesterday, you know, but until you're experiencing it, it's hard to believe it. And because it's not, there's no restriction. There was no restriction in letting go of all that weight. I lived for God.
And it really, that's all it is, my relationship with God, not religious in the least, but deeply spiritual and deeply grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ave V. Up next, we have Lynn B. And after Lynn B., we will have time for maybe four more shares. So, Lynn B., please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Lynn D., as in David.
I'm sorry about that, Lynn D. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am from San Diego, California. I always remember, I have this written in my big book, like, story with, like, three underlines on it because I have such a good experience, strength, and hope for this one. There's just, like, such a glaring, relatable thing that I kind of connect with this paragraph. And, you know, it was in sixth grade, and we were doing this, like, invention, convention thing, science-y thing. And, of course, being a compulsive overeater, I believe I related it to food. I can't remember quite what it was, but I know it was related to, like, science and food. And anyways, I won in sixth grade. And this, like, super athletic sixth grade boy came up to me afterwards, and I thought he was going to congratulate me. And he said, oh, are you going to use the prize money to go to Jenny Craig? And I had to look it up because I was naive because I didn't know what Jenny Craig was. But, you know, that didn't bother me, I guess, right then and there. I didn't cry. I didn't punch him in the face. I didn't do anything like that. But what I did do was turned my, you know, self-will, I'll show you. And I went on this, I went on the Crazy Lynn diet like the next week, you know. And that was like this, like, head first spiraling into, like, diet mentality and, like, you know, I was always like the bigger, taller, awkward girl. And so, you know, I've always kind of had to deal with those kinds of, oh, you're, wow, you're really tall. Oh, wow. You know, you're really big, like, you know, tall, big, you know, kind of my whole life. But, anyways, yeah, it's such a good, like, reminder of, like, when my self-will gets going, you know, like, just how crazy and, like, head spinning it can get. And, you know, that is not what the big book is talking about of, you know, God's use of the good side of Lynn's will, you know, the will that God helps me, you know, create through prayer and meditation and talking with others and that kind of will, you know, God's will. So, and then the other thing somebody was talking about that made me chuckle was the whole, you know, I always thought that, you know, I could do it myself and I didn't need anybody. And, you know, I didn't need God. I didn't need my family. You know, my family was overweight, so they weren't going to tell me I was fat. So I didn't have that going on. But I surrounded myself with a bubble of people that were like me so that I wouldn't get hurt, so that I could protect, you know, that inner self of, like, oh, if I, you know, if I hang around a bunch of, like, you know, super healthy, skinny people, then they're going to, like, say something to me. So I just remember surrounding myself with, like, people that like to eat or people that like to do this or, you know, like, and so it's just, like,
gentle reminder,
super protective bubble. And that was not another good use of my will either. So anyways, thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lindy. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we have time for maybe three or four people to comment on page 23. There is a solution. So if you'd like to get in the lineup, please press star 1 to unmute. The reading we're commenting on starts with how true this is and ends with and assert his power of will. How's that working for you? Who'd like to comment? I think we may be down to closer to three more shares. Star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you. No wrong answers.
Susanna A. in Los Angeles.
Susanna A. Who's after Susanna?
Rifki R. in New Jersey.
Rifki R. Okay. And one more. Okay. Susanna, please share with us and please give us the first initial of your last name.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Susanna A., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Just wanted to say good morning. Happy Monday morning. Wow, all of these shares that I've been hearing really reminded me. I remember being younger and my mom looking at me with, like, I don't know, a combination of, like, pity or contempt. But she was like, you're always going to be struggling with your weight. Like, you're always, it's just always going to be a thing for you. And I hadn't thought about that for, you know, years, but I'm like, I can honestly say, I'm like, wow, like, I'm not struggling. It's a gift. And, you know, it's contingent on me, of course, working the 12 steps on a daily basis and showing up. And like, I've really just been trying to be present and listening, and people are just carrying the message that I can hear and I can connect with. And it's so transformative. And I'm just in deep, deep gratitude. You know, there's life is lifey, and my brain still wants to go into self-will. And it just, it's the default setting. But I know waking up, reading Upon Awakening, going to my meetings, listening and sharing, that's where the transformation happens in that connection, because I have a connection with my higher power. And I just want to say good morning and thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Susan A. Rivka R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Rivki R. from New Jersey. So grateful to be here. Yeah, this paragraph just reminds me of, you know, my family, who, especially my mother, who just like would look at me with pity, when I was over 300 pounds, pity, disappointment. You know, I remember one time, she lived out of state, and that she came to visit, and I was like, you know, I've been gaining weight pretty steadily for the past 2 years. After losing weight, you know, going to a nutritionist for a few years, I lost weight and then gained back about 100 pounds. And I was just talking to her, and I mentioned something about the diet that I had been on that had, you know, kind of worked. And she says to me, well, I think you need to go back to, you know, that nutritionist. And I just looked at her, and I was so, like, felt so, such an anger. And I realized, probably, you know, now I realize it came from, like, fear and shame. I was like, do you think I don't realize that I need to lose weight? I think, like, I needed to tell me that, you know, that, you know, I was, like, a health risk. I was, like, I was over 300 pounds, and my father has type 2 diabetes, and he had a triple bypass in his 50s, and like, I knew that I was heading there, but I couldn't stop. And I thought, and that's why my mom thought also, that all I need to do was assert my willpower a little more. I can do this. I mean, I knew I could do this. I lost 80 pounds on that diet, you know, a couple of years before, so why can't I just go back and just do it again? It makes sense. I know that I could, you know, if I knew I could do this, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I just couldn't understand, like, why I just couldn't keep at it. And, you know, all I needed to do, now I, like, thank God that led me to the rooms here in OA and showed me that all I need to do is just surrender my will to him. And, you know, and work the steps, and And you know, and with that, he gave me that great gift of this, you know, of serenity, and still, you know, working with it's unfolding every day, and a great gift of a normal body size and 100 pounds lost, and just real true miracles. And you know, God just did for me what I could not do for myself. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Rizki R. Appreciate your share. Okay, we have time for one more. Who'd like to take it? Our one time mute.
Jenny L.
Jenny L, please share with us.
Hi, yes, I'm Jenny L in Ohio, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, thank God. I've been recovered and abstinent for over 8 years now, and my life has been so different in these past 8 years than they were the 30 whatever years before that. And I used to binge. I used to steal food from my friends, from whoever. I would lie about how much I ate or where I got it. I was always embarrassed about my eating. I would go out with family or friends, and I would overeat. Like, you know, things would get, people would get a bunch of stuff to share, and I'm not that big, so I was very overweight, but I'm not that tall. So, you know, I would eat an entire plate of food, and I would feel like I was dying, and I'd have to cancel whatever plans I had after the dinner, even if it was like the movies or bowling or a show or whatever people do after they eat. I'd have to cancel because I'd be so sick from going out to a restaurant. And that happened all the time. Even with my current husband and I were dating, it was horrible. We had gone on a cruise our first year of dating, and, you know, after dinner, we'd go to one of the shows, and I tell him, oh, I'm a little chilly. I left my sweater in the stateroom, and I go back to the buffet and get a bunch of desserts, eat that, and then get my sweater and go back to him. He had no idea. I told him this when I was recovered. I wanted to tell him what I had done. He was like, I had no idea. You were so good at hiding all those things. So, and now I never lie, like, especially not to my family and friends, really never to anybody. And it's so freeing, and it's so peaceful in my life, because I no longer lie or anything like that. And it's just, the program, the steps, the working with others, having a sponsor and sponsees, and just staying in this program every day, just really, really helps me live a beautiful life in every way, not just my food and body. And that's all I have. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jenny L. Wonderful. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. If freely of what you find and join us, we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until